Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a Dave original podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Hypothetical Podcast. I'm your host, Izzy Sutty, and my guests today will be Josh Widdicombe and James A. Acaster. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Izzy.
I'm going to start with a question I always start with when I'm hosting this podcast, which is, when was the last time you saw a peacock?
Do you know what? I can tell you that straight off the bat. Someone I know, they live in Shropshire, and he's got quite a big house in Shropshire. I went to visit him, and he had a peacock in his garden. And I said, oh, that's a nice peacock. And he said, yeah, I used to have two, but this one murdered the other one.
What?
The peacock had killed the other peacock. And so he only had one
How?
Peacock. They'd had a fight, and it had killed it.
Were they related?
Yeah, they were like, I think they're sisters or whatever, because they're women, aren't they, peacocks? Are they men?
No.
No, they're men, aren't they? So brothers?
The ones with the big tails, yeah.
So he'd had two peacocks and one had killed the other one. And then he kept... I mean, what do you do? Do you keep the murderer?
Have to keep the murderer, I guess.
Yeah,
in case he gets
still got a beautiful tail.
Yeah.
It's just not a beautiful tail, T-A-L-E, but it's a beautiful tail, T-A-I-L.
You thought that was a nice whimsical question to open with, didn't you, is it?
No, actually, I wanted a hard answer like that. That was always my aim. I wanted to talk about peacocks murdering each other within the first 4 minutes.
Murder implies a kind of premeditation, doesn't it, I suppose?
It's a crime of passion.
Yeah, exactly.
And I saw one garrot in a bullfinch, Izzy, if you're wondering.
Well, actually, yesterday I saw one chasing a hen. You know those hens with that have got feathers on their legs as well as their bodies? They look really weird when they're running, like they've got on or something. A peacock was chasing one of those hens in a really odd farm in Surrey, and it wouldn't leave it alone.
I bet it was really wishing it was a non-feathery leg hen at that point.
I think it was. It was like it was trudging along faster and faster, and it kept just hiding. I thought, yeah, it was really odd.
It's like when when bootcut jeans were in fashion, it was more difficult to run, wasn't it, in those days? Because they were kind of flapping around.
I think the more clothes you've got on, the funnier it is if you're trying to run.
Well,
or is it just the
and the
least,
the yeah. I guess
I've got a new laugh, by the way.
Oh, yeah. All right, Jimmy Carr.
It goes like this. So it kind of peaks at the beginning.
So does it affect it? So as if you find something funny, but then you actually think about it and lose it. You actually process it.
Yeah, that's right. So it's like instinctively I've laughed and I've gone, oh no, that's not actually that funny.
Sure. How long has that been going for?
It started yesterday at the farm.
Oh. When you saw the hen?
Yeah.
Are you aware this isn't a purely farm-based anecdote podcast, is it?
No, I'm not actually. I was told I could do what I want with it. It's my week. And the next question is going to be, have you ever seen a pig kill a horse? Right. You'll be competing for this week's hypothetical prizes. They are not farmyard-based. Mm. They are a kefir kit, courtesy of my mum, an advent calendar that lasts for the whole year, which I thought you might like, James, because I know you like
That'd
chocolate.
Be great.
I don't know what it counts down to.
Well, Christmas Day still, right?
Easter's the most chocolatey day, isn't it, really?
Oh, yeah. Imagine an advent calendar that counts down to Easter, starting on Easter Monday.
I think there's a gap in the market here.
Yeah, gap in my stomach, more like, in my tummy.
There's never a gap in your tummy, James. It's always full to the brim.
Chocolate.
Yeah. Like a skip outside a kind of house. You're just thinking, can I fit a crisp packet in there? I can't even get that in there. It's absolutely.
So we've got the kefir kit. We've got the advent calendar that lasts for the whole year. And there's also a life-size statue of Banksy made of Lego, which is just a pile of Lego.
Yeah.
So this week you'll be going head-to-head, like two goldfish in a very small tank or two peacocks in your friend's field. Who'll come out on top? Let's find out in this week's What Would You Do? Okay, you're transported back to 1996, a week before the recording of Wannabe. Before this happens, you must become an official member of the Spice Girls. How do you do it? We've got a few rules. Would you like to know the rules?
Yeah.
The band has got to be a success with you in it. You must have a name conforming to the classic model, blank Spice. You must also have a persona and a unique look that goes with that name. And if you fail, so does girl power.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
I was a fan. Well, I wasn't actually, but I think I am now.
You're a fan now?
Well, I think I think I appreciate them a lot more now than I did at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate their work ethic. I think they worked really hard.
I loved them at the time.
Loved you?
Wannabe. When I first heard Wannabe, it blew my head off my shoulders. I couldn't believe how good Wannabe was. I'd play it in my living room and dance and sing to it properly. Really loved it.
Really?
You're slightly younger than me, aren't you? So you were 11.
Yeah, so 96, I just started secondary school. I was either year 6 or year 7.
Because I think I was 2 years, I was year 9, so I'd reached that stage where I was too cynical.
Uh-huh.
And I was, in 96, I was 18.
Oh, so what did you think of them?
Oh, I mean, it was like Harry Potter. I just missed it. I didn't mind the videos. I didn't mind the zigga zigga. But yeah. I was never really... James, I wouldn't have...
I didn't mind the zigga zigga.
So you've never sounded more like a nana.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mind the zigga zigga.
There's a laugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wasn't like you, James, though. I wasn't unashamedly into it. It was kind of like if it came on at an indie night at the end of the night, we'd all dance to it slightly ironically but enjoy it inside kind of thing. But it wouldn't be... Yeah. I wish that I'd been a bit younger and that I could have just done what you did. Did you buy the single? Did you buy, like, the cassette tape of it?
I bought the first three singles. I bought Wannabe, Say You'll Be There, and To Become One.
All liking
each one less than the one before it. You know, like, but still really pushing my enthusiasm for it. You know, buying
because
smash
the third
hits.
One's a ballad, which is tough when you're 11.
A ballad
it?
About safe sex as well, which at age 11, you're like, I'm trying to get on board with this, but, you know, I don't understand anything they're saying, really. When I went on Would I Lie to You, I spoke about not getting their album for Christmas, their debut album for Christmas, because my dad told me in advance of Christmas that I wouldn't be getting the album and that he would be giving my sister the album. I attempted to drown myself in the local swimming pool because I wouldn't be getting the Spice Girls album. I sat down under the water in the shallow end and in protest. That's how much it meant to me.
Did they get you out or did you bottle it?
Well, they knew I'd bottle it. So my dad just carried on swimming. And then eventually I came up from the water and, you know, my family weren't there. They were all just going around doing their own thing. And I was like, okay.
Off to buy a copy of Saints and Sinners by All Saints, weren't they?
But he got round it by, so he bought us three albums, me, my brother and sister, for Christmas. So he got me, Definitely Maybe. He got my sister, Spice, and he got my brother, Dizzy Heights by the Lightning Seeds. And the other two, so we all got those albums, and we all got a blank cassette that he had recorded the other two albums onto the different sides of. So I had a blank cassette that had Spice on one side, Lightning Seeds on the other side. And I'll tell you, Spice Girls very quickly became my least favourite of those three albums. And I went off the Spice Girls pretty quick. And I was quite relieved that my dad had not got me. Because the album didn't hold up. The singles were the best tracks.
Of course, singles banned. Whereas the Lightning Seeds have got depth, haven't they, James?
Lightning Seeds had a lot going on. You have to... It stands up to multiple listens, Dizzy Heights. Obviously, Definitely Maybe was, like, brilliant.
Yeah.
I still listen to that now, actually. But
yeah. It's, I wish I'd loved them at the time, but I just feel like I really missed out on that part of my life. I've met a few of them. Have you met any of them?
No.
I haven't met any of them. Ellis has met Emma Bunton.
I did The Wheel with Mel B. It felt a bit insane that Mel B was sat there and they were talking to, you know, me and Jordan Thingy from Radio 1 instead. But that's The Wheel for you. It's completely random.
I talked to someone the other day, like 2 days ago, who said they'd met Mel B, and they were absolutely delighted about it. Said it was brilliant, and they really smiling. They went, "She's really rude." She was rude to all
of
us.
You kind of want her to be, don't you? I think there are certain people where it would actually be a disappointment if they were like really normal and chilled.
Totally.
Like, I would want her to be like, "Get me a blimmin' limo."
Yeah, of
That's
course.
The worst thing I could think. That's the rudest thing I can think of. Get me a blimmin' limo.
I think that's how I would get into the Spice Girls, actually. That's how I'd get myself in. I would try and be the polar opposite of that to add something different to the group. I'd be like polite Spice. So I would I'd go up to them one day and be like so courteous and loads of manners and like suggest really eloquently and politely that I would be a really good counterpoint to Scary Spice because I'm so polite.
Oh, yeah.
You'd bring your own rider.
Yeah.
In the same way you're a counterpoint to Scary Spice,
mm-hmm.
I might claim myself to be a kind of fictionalised sixth person that was always there but they never mention, like a kind of ghost. So that would be a really good thing to have in a band. So it's like a sixth member that's always there. It's never mentioned and they deny exists, but is always stood there behind them as a kind of ghostly figure and is always dancing along with them. I think that would be a really exciting... There's very few things that haven't been done with bands, but I think that would be a really exciting kind of premise that people are like, can you see the sixth member of the Spice Girls?
In interviews, you could actually be there in interviews.
Yeah.
And would you talk? And then
yeah, but they'd act like they couldn't hear me.
When you said the sixth member, I thought you were going down the George Martin route or something like that.
No,
a ghost.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'd be a ghost. And I'd probably be dressed as a ghost. But so I'd be Victorian Spice. That's what I'd be. I'd be Victorian Spice. And people would go, "Can you see Victorian Spice?" Because I can see Victorian Spice. And I'd be dressed in full Victorian garb. And so I'd just be there the whole time. Or just like in the back of videos, you'd occasionally see me. So maybe I wouldn't be in every shot. It would be that thing where, did you see halfway through the video to Mama, he appeared? I think it'd be quite an exciting kind of twist on a band.
I really think that. It's the kind of thing that the KLF would do.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very artistic thing, actually. It's like a comment on...
What is it a comment on? It is a comment on something, though, isn't it?
It's a comment on... I was going to say society.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I mean, let's keep it general.
Yeah, let's keep it general.
Guys, it's a comment on society. Josh, would you have one of those headless costumes where you had your head under your arm?
What, so my head's under my arm? Like I'm a proper ghost?
Yeah. That's how I'm imagining
that's
it.
Good.
But I suppose I could do different type. I could do different things, couldn't I? So sometimes I'd be headless. Sometimes maybe like you just see me pop up on a screen like a kind of... Say they were on Live and Kicking and there was a TV screen with the Live and Kicking logo. Maybe it would kind of go a bit staticky and then you just see my face and then it would disappear. That kind of thing.
But you can't be too scary.
No.
If you're too scary, you're on Scary Spice's turf.
Yes. I can't.
I mean, ghosts don't have to be scary. You could be like Cheeky Spice. Yeah. It could be a cheeky ghost. Yeah. You could play pranks.
I'm not scary in the sense it's like The Ring, but I think the mere fact that I am a ghost is quite kind of spooky. A Spooky Spice, maybe, would be what I'd be called.
Yeah, Spooky Spice, discombobulating spice.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing, yeah.
So we've got Polite Spice and Spooky Spice.
Polite Spice, constantly.
James, tell me more about Polite Spice.
Yeah.
How would she be with Prince Charles?
It's weird, isn't it? Because like, the Spice Girls, the one thing with the Spice Girls is even though they were like very kind of anarchic in a sense, they were also quite Tory. And that's what we kind of have learned as the years have gone by. And they probably loved the royal family.
And so they did love the royal family, yeah.
Yeah, I should probably be the opposite. If I'm providing a little bit of balance there.
Yeah.
But then I guess really Polite Spice should be very good at talking to the royal family. I think they're probably still cheeky with the royal family, the Spice Girls. So maybe I would be as polite as possible to the royals. I'd be great at the royal variety. I basically, you know, in that video for Wannabe where they're just tearing through that members club or whatever, I'd just be the one tidying up behind them as we go and like apologising to all the people who were kind of messing with. And, oh, sorry, we're filming a music video.
And so when they were doing like People of the World, Spice Up Your Life, you'd be saying, if you want to.
Yeah.
You know.
If you've got the time, we're aware that not everyone's got the time.
No worries if not.
Yeah, no worries if not. It's fine.
It's fine. But you'd be fully behind Two Become One, obviously, because that feels like it's a really polite kind of
in the
message.
Two Become One video, I'd be there with a cucumber and a condom, just doing the demonstration, like in science class, just so it's really useful for people watching, you know.
Okay, well, both of these are fantastic. Would you have a signature dance move?
Well, I suppose mine would be a kind of, it's a podcast, but a kind of scary kind of, not scary, but a kind of ghostly kind of way, you know, the kind of...
Yeah, arms shimmer. Waving slowly.
Yeah, ghostly shimmer, I suppose.
What's a polite dance move? I guess a polite dance move. I kind of think about like an auntie at a wedding or something, just very, not taking up much space, just jiggling my shoulders. Jiggling my shoulders and looking around at everyone else, like a little suppressed, excited face.
You'd offer people whether if they wanted to do a spin, you'd offer your hand, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd go around
to young and old alike.
I'd go around twirling the other Spice Girls. Yeah, that's what I'd do.
Yeah, you'd basically be there for everyone else, but if you got a few seconds, you'd do a little move of your own and kind of giggle to yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'd be ready to help anyone to dance who needed it.
Any of the other Spice Girls who needed to do those high kicks, I'll be right there with them to help them out, you know, just like lifting their leg up or whatever and just be like, I'll offer you the support so you can do the high kick. Yeah, I think I'd be pretty useful.
I do like the idea of Polite Spice. Yeah, I guess what I'm thinking is if you were, I'd want to sit you down and go, what do you really think about Prince Charles? You'd be like, oh, well, he's a nice man.
Yeah.
He's got a soft, nice, soft hand.
Yeah.
When you shake it. But I guess if, you know, if we were in a band together, I'd get to know the real Polite Spice and you'd always be clearing up. So that'd be useful. Spooky Spice, I think, is an excellent comment on society. And it's never been done before.
Sorry to burst your bubble here, but I think this has been done before.
Oh, no.
There has been a group where the women are the focus and the man is completely ignored. A little group called The Cause. and I think you're forgetting The Cause.
And do you know what the problem is there? I don't know if you've read into what's happened to Jim Corr.
No, I haven't.
No. He has some pretty spicy views these days. He has taken being ignored very badly. I wouldn't like to extrapolate, but he poured a lot of that energy into the 9/11 truth movement.
Wow. Jim Corr.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Wow.
You know, I'd hope that I would respond better to the being ignored situation.
Spooky Spice doesn't go down the same road.
God, have you seen what Spooky Spice is saying online?
Can't believe Spooky Spice and Matt Letizia are doing a Q&A together.
Okay, I'm going to award points now. It's hard because I really, really like both of these. I like the idea of polite spice very much. And I think I'm quite a polite person. I'm quite a people pleaser. And I think I like that idea. Bands can be very naughty. They can smash up hotel rooms and things like that. And polite spice would be a good addition. Spooky Spice is a fantastic idea. It would be hard work, I think, Josh.
Yes.
You know, you'd have to travel separately, presumably. You'd have to keep the costume on all the time. How would you get paid?
I suppose it'd be the estate of Spooky Spice would get paid.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I like this. I think it could stand up. Okay, James, I'm going to give you 4 for Polite Spice.
Ooh, lovely.
4 out of 5.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're really so welcome. And Josh, just because I think it is an excellent idea, I don't think it's been done before, apart from The Cause, in a way, I'm going to give you 5 out of 5.
Oh, thanks, mate. Cheers. Do you know what? I'm genuinely excited about launching my new pop band that has a deceased member. It'd be good for like Britain's Got Talent and stuff, because when they came on, you'd walk on, they go, can you introduce yourselves? And the people would introduce themselves, and then Simon would go, and you? And they'd go, who are you talking to?
It would be, it's like a play, it's like an absurdist play. Because then if Simon Cowell said, him, they'd go, well, there's no one there.
Bang, golden buzzer from Alicia Dixon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Through to the next round.
Golden buzzer. You wouldn't even need to have a song. You'd just spend the whole 10 minutes going, who are you talking to?
Who are you talking to? You'd never do a song.
I was going to start a band once with, I'm sure, well, maybe were you two going to be in it a long time ago with Crosby?
Probably.
Yeah. So we could actually do it. That was when I used to do my musical act, Izzy Wizzy, which he likes.
Your partner's a very good guitarist, Izzy. Yeah.
Not very good at certain other things.
I don't know why I love that sort of stuff. I love that kind of joke. It really makes me laugh. I don't know why.
It's like, what does it mean?
Yeah, it's great.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, on to our next round, Not For A Million Quid. This round is where our contestants bid to see who would need to be paid the least to do the thing in question. I'll give the question, then you each bid a figure, and the winner is whoever bids lowest and can justify being able to cope with it. That's very important, isn't it, as you know. So how much, this is the question, how much, I absolutely love this, to keep moving at a minimum of 2 miles per hour for a year?
Oh my word.
Now, you're allowed to travel by any means possible. You can walk, you can drive, you can dog sled. As long as you're moving, you've got to be travelling day and night, even if you're asleep. So you never stop moving at 2 miles an hour. And the rotation of the earth doesn't count.
So at night is the problem, right?
Yeah, I guess night is the problem.
Even if you got a sleeper train, that stops at stations. So you'd have to, when it stopped at a station, get up and start moving.
Yeah, you'd have to set your alarm, wouldn't you, for just before it stopped at each station, or get someone to... Because I'm thinking on a sleeper train, you'd probably want to sleep. You'd have to have someone to tap you on the shoulder just before each station, so you could move, walk up and down while it stopped.
Because I was thinking you could get an overnight flight, but a flight's a problem in itself because of takeoff. Because there is a bit where you're strapped in and the plane is stationary. And it'd be, you can't just, the moment you land, get up and start walking up and down the aisle. That's absolutely frowned upon. So planes are almost impossible to do. So you'd have to just get someone to drive you around at night. In the back seat of a car. You'd have to sleep in the back seat of a moving car.
I think you'd have to have more than one driver in case anyone needed the toilet.
Yeah, and what about traffic lights?
I reckon it probably is impossible. But I think I would try, I'd go fully political with it and try, well, not political, but I'd try and make a statement with it.
Yeah.
I would travel for a year on a zero emissions boat like Greta Thunberg did.
Oh, nice.
Okay, that'd be very good for the environment as well.
But I'd do it for a whole year to prove the point. I'm moving on this boat for an entire year. We're not stopping and it's doing nothing to the environment.
Yeah.
And really try to promote awareness. And obviously I'd have someone else driving it. Yeah, we'd have a little crew. And I reckon...
Yes.
The whole publicity of we're doing it for a year, we're at sea for a whole year.
Do you know what's going to be heartbreaking, James?
What?
You're going to get a lot of PR, but come about January the 12th, when people lose interest, and you're still locked in for the rest of the year, and you're thinking, this isn't a news story until late December now.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the first 2 weeks and the last 2 weeks of the year, people are going to be interested. The rest of it...
They're still on that boat.
They're still on that.
Like, did that start 3 years ago?
Every now and again, they'll be checking in. On the live stream and just see me there being like, come on, listen, President Biden. Whatever. It would be it. Shame on you. No one's watching me.
I like it as an idea. I think you'd wind up all the right people as well.
Yeah.
Oh, there'd be some idiots that would be annoyed at you.
Yeah.
More so than in your current career, James.
Yeah, I mean...
Even more so.
Probably a lot of the same people, actually. Like, but, weirdly.
You could keep it fresh. You could pick up a new passenger at certain points.
Oh, yeah.
They'd have to jump onto the boat, wouldn't they? Because it couldn't stop.
Yeah.
But or they could swim, you know, a few metres from the shore onto the boat.
Yeah.
And then they could be in the videos to try and...
Absolutely.
You get different comics to join you at different points.
Yeah, definitely. Get different comedians, different celebs from around the world to join. I guess they'd have to like catch up on like a zero emission jet ski or something. Like and catch up with us on that. Jump onto the boat.
Well, you could kind of go past a harbour kind of, 'cause you know like when you're on a narrow boat,
yeah.
People can like get on while you're moving, can't they, if they're walking alongside.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, do stuff like that. That would be fun. To be like, okay, here we go. Oh, it's Daley Thompson, and we're going. I don't know why that's the first person that I think of. He's an athlete. He'd be able to do it. But like,
he'd be
able to run alongside the boat and jump on it. And are they going to make it?
And would you do that thing, you know, like say you're getting in the car, and your dad does that thing where they pull away a bit, you know, and you like go. You could speed up the boat just as Daley Thompson was getting.
So. Yeah, he fell in. He can't be angry because this is all for a good cause.
You could get various sports people to use their skills to get onto the boat. So someone could ride a horse into the sea and then jump off the horse into the boat.
Yeah, as long as the horse is okay afterwards.
Yeah, of course.
Then it really undermines the global war. You know, the whole like, you know. Nature and stuff like that. There's a drowning horse in the background.
Big attack by peacocks.
Yeah. A peacock just pushing its head underwater. Say goodnight, horse.
The horse kicking itself because it's getting dizzy heights by the lightning seeds for Christmas. Going, this is what I want. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I like this idea a lot. I really do. I guess you could have politicians on there as well. Do you think keep it?
Good ones.
Well, they'd have to sign up to get on, wouldn't they? You'd have to sign up to a pledge. To get on, you have to sign up to a pledge to be carbon neutral.
Yeah.
And they'd get to hang out with loads of comics. It'd be like, it could be called like, hey, want to have a laugh with some comedians? Well, you have to sign this pledge.
It could be called that.
Yeah.
It could be called, hey, want to have a laugh with some comedians? Well, you've got to sign this pledge. I mean, I'm trying to get people to watch me all year round. Recommended that to their mates. Hey, have you seen, hey, want to hang out with some comedians? Well, you've got to sign this pledge. It's good. It's pretty good.
And then you get people who aren't interested in climate change to, like, you kind of, you pull their attention with the names of the comics. Then in the small print at the bottom is like, you must use zero emissions transport forever. You must always have a shower rather than a bath and stuff. But they've signed it.
I thought you were going to say at the bottom of the small print, it says line up subject to change. So you could just put some really good people. And then they're like, oh my God, it's Nish again. Of course it's Nish.
It's constantly Nish.
Yeah. You'd never get rid of Nish if you're on the zero emissions boat. That'd be it.
Might as well just have him. He'd be on the poop deck. He'd be there.
I think it's a very good idea. Things I couldn't even work out how I just don't think I'd be able to do it without stopping.
Could you do it in space?
Yeah. Does travel work differently in space? Like, if there's a lack of gravity.
If you orbited the Earth like Laika for a year. Is that going to be 2 miles an hour? If you just did that.
It didn't end well for Laika, though, did it?
Well, it doesn't say you have to be alive at the end in the rules.
No, of course.
that's true.
Quite an animal death-themed podcast, this one.
I had to put a warning at the beginning of this.
I think I'm defeated on that, Izzy. I think James has got the better answer.
I like your logic, Josh. I don't think we can compete with the... It ticks so many boxes as well.
He'd prevent climate change because so many people would have queued up to watch Maisie Adam on his boat. And before then, you know, Donald Trump has signed a thing saying that he'll never use a private jet again.
I'd definitely get Maisie Adam with the trick where she falls in the water. There's no way I wouldn't be able to resist that. She'd be furious. It'd be so great. She took a dunking. She's been dunked. We dunked Adam. She's in the water.
I actually think this is a brilliant idea.
Yeah. It'd be good use of a year, James. You gave up stand-up for a year.
Yeah.
You know, you like these big projects.
I mean, giving up stand-up for a year was slightly diminished by the fact there was a pandemic on and everyone had to do it.
People
a bit annoying.
Yeah. You should have done it in lockdown.
Yeah. I should have carried on doing gigs. During all that.
I'm not
Mark
stopping.
Watson would want to do it because he does the 24-hour gigs, the 48-hour gigs.
He'd do it.
There'd be certain comics who'd be really up for it, and what you could do is find out bad politicians' favourite comics and book them.
Yeah. Before you know it, you're cruising around the Caribbean with Jim Davidson and and Jacob Rees-Mogg.
I mean, and it's only February.
Yeah. Oh my God, this isn't worth it.
Get a speedboat out of there.
And it would be the bit when you weren't getting any publicity anyway. Yeah. Because everyone, just you and Mark and Davidson.
No one's watching.
Right. Despite that possible problem with it,
yeah.
I'm going to give you 5 out of 5 because I think this is an excellent, excellent idea.
Thank you, Izzy.
Josh, I can't give you 5, I'm afraid. I don't think I can even give you 4. Can I give you 3? Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
So, Josh, you got 4 with Spooky... No, you got 5 with Spooky Spice.
Yeah.
You got 3 with the 2 miles an hour challenge. Therefore, you've got a total of 8.
Ooh.
James, you got 4 with the Spice Girl Polite Spice.
Nice.
And you got 5... with this excellent idea of, hey, want to hang out with some comedians, then you've got to sign this pledge. Your grand total is 9.
Yes.
Congratulations, James.
Thank you.
Therefore, the winner is James Acaster with 9 points. The loser, with 8 points is Josh Widdicombe. And yeah, that's all we've got time for in this week's hypothetical podcast. And congratulations.
Congratulations, thank you. James.
You've got the respect of everyone listening and me and Josh.
I can feel it. Means a lot.
Yeah. I'll definitely do the boat thing. Will you, Josh?
Yeah, I would sign up. Dependent on which politician I was being paired with.
You'll be on with Ian Duncan Smith, and he'd definitely have a dunking, because we've been going about dunking Duncan. We dunked Duncan!
Up for it.
Someone else will see you next week. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Hypothetical the Podcast is a Hattrick production for Dave. All episodes of Hypothetical the TV Show are available on UK TV Play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ever wondered what it'd be like to nose around a comedian's house, take their stuff and see how much money you can make by selling it?
No, that's a pretty niche thing, to be honest. Bit creepy, really.
But that's the premise of Dave's brand new comedy podcast, Hard Sell, with me, Josh Jones.
And me, Darren Harrier. We're going to travel the country, visiting the homes of different comedians, chatting about their spending habits before grabbing one of their favourite possessions and giving ourselves 1 week to try and sell it for charity. In a competition to see who can raise the most money.
It's a right laugh as we get to meet amazing funny people like Kima Bob, Joel Dommett, Ria Lina, Ivo Graham, Josh Pugh and lots more.
But also sort of like an incredibly stressful cheese dream where we're trying to shift what are essentially stolen goods against the clock. It's bonkers.
Hard Sell with Josh Jones
and Darren Harrier.
Available now wherever you get your podcasts.